It's spider mating season, by the way. That's just coming. You see all the male spiders out looking for some lady spider love.
There's a guy. Good morning.
Good morning, Maya.
There's a guy who, I don't know if it's, what's the definition of busking? If you're standing around painted silver doing the human statue, is that busking?
That's busking, yeah. That's,
is it? Or is it just street art?
It's busking. Via did I tell you about the guy I saw?
Because there's a guy dressed as Spider-Man. I don't think he's mating. Yeah. He's not mating with other women, but he's obviously just got a joke shop Spider-Man costume.
Yeah.
But when it's cold, he was just wearing wellies last week.
I don't know if he wants to see Spider-Man cold.
So he was just standing there in wellies and a mac, just looking like an incredibly, looking like you going to see Shane.
Yeah,
looking like a dodgy.
That really stayed with you, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
That story.
A dodgy superhero. What did you see last week?
Okay, so you see there's five of them dressed up as bronze statues and they're doing the thing. And if you put money in the jar, they all do a bow like that. And then further up the road in Grafton Street, this is a few weeks back.
They're good, those guys.
I
think they're Eastern European.
They don't say anything, so I don't know.
I heard them chatting to each other. I wasn't going to do an impression because I'm not a racist, but you carry on.
I thought your initial comment was probably pretty racist. My accent is just mimicry.
And the two guys are the giant leprechauns. They're Polish.
I think you're veering into sub-racist territory here. But what I would say to you is the other guy, anyway, the other guy, so that's the five of them, the quintet.
Yes.
Doing their,
and their little dog.
Mm-hmm. Further up the road, there's one guy sitting on his own. And what happened was, the mother sent the daughter, and the daughter were sitting there, and two girls, probably about 9 or 10, were looking at him. Going, "No, that's nice, that's good." And he was looking at them, I presume, as a statue.
Yeah.
Right? And they didn't put money in they took a picture, they didn't put money in. The deal is you take a picture.
Yeah,
it's the unspoken contract. So he did, in his magic statue hand, he did this, and he lifted his middle finger to the children.
No, he didn't.
And said, like, "You." Without saying it, and he just stuck
I think as a street performer, you have to suck it up at some point, don't you?
I think you kind of have to do a little bit, even though it's not. I do think it's really mean spirited if somebody gets your picture, you have to throw them a few bob. Yeah. But I thought the finger was,
I remember chatting to the lovely Christy Dignam, who said there was some guy who used to pose a statue and he would jump, and Christy had his grand, and he goes, and he scared the shite out of me, grand, so he went and he knocked him off the box, and the poor guy was trying to stay in statue mode with Christy bailing him out of it.
Yeah.
Love to have seen that.
The dice man cometh. Here's it. I just want to give you this text before we get down to business to what we're talking about this morning. And it says, "Don't laugh." Of course, immediately you want to kind of laugh.
I don't.
"I'm really annoyed at my wife. Last night, I was really looking forward to having sex with her. The house was cleaned.
Important, tick.
I painted the bathroom yesterday and I did a good job, if I may say so myself."
He has to paint the bathroom to get it right? My God.
Must be some right. "So in bed, she just starts..." Oh, wait, hang on. He did say don't laugh because it's not a smarty one.
Sorry, I was laughing at painting the bathroom.
In return for... Back to the text.
Often. Sorry.
I might just kill her mic when I read the rest of
Sorry,
the text.
Sorry,
I'm just going to kill her mic. "So in bed, she just starts insulting me. So I don't know where it came from. Not even sure if she realised what she was saying herself. The insults were just flying off her tongue. And then she turns to me and expects me to have sex with her. Needless to say, nothing happened. And I got up and I went downstairs. And when I went back to... when I went back up, she was sitting there with a puzzled look on her face with no idea what she said to bother me. I texted her this morning and asked if she had any idea what she said to me to annoy me. And still, not an idea, as she says she thought she was joking. Didn't sound like a joke to me. WTF is it with women? Freud was right when with what he said about them." Now, back. What do you think?
I think that's very sad. I would like to know what she said.
What did she say that was... Because
He may be a very oversensitive man, but if he is and they're married, she should know that. Maybe she was taking the mick out of the bathroom painting or something. It's hard to know. I think when people use that excuse of saying, "Oh, I was only joking," and they know they weren't, that's not really... I'd love to know what she said.
I don't like the sound of a woman
but
who insists on having stuff done before they have sex. I think that's a really bad relationship where I had the house clean and the room painted, therefore.
It's not very healthy. It's not terribly kind or respectful. But I would, if it upset him enough to put him off and send him out of the room and downstairs, it obviously wasn't a joke. I think he needs to be very clear and tell her, not ask her, "Do you know what you did to upset me?" But actually tell her what she did to upset him.
Yeah.
Because she obviously doesn't know.
So in bed, she just starts insulting me. Not sure if she realised the insults were just flying.
Because that doesn't sound like a joke.
She turns into me and she expects me to have sex with her. And so they didn't obviously have any shenanigans.
He needs to tell her what she said to upset him. Because, I mean, this often happens the other way around, where women can be a little bit sort of opaque sometimes about things and expect men to understand. But it happens both ways. So don't ask her if she knows what she did. Just tell her.
And then,
because he sounds like a very unhappy man. That's not a very happy situation. Why are you holding a chopstick?
It's I'm really enjoying holding the chopstick.
One chopstick.
It was here when I got in. Somebody left it behind last night. There was obviously a one-handed Asian gastronomic fan who
just pushing noodles around a plate
like this, going
like a tiny snooker cue,
saying I'm starving. Can't get any of this into my mouth.
I couldn't work out what you were holding.
I thought it was a knitting needle at one stage, and then I thought,
don't be ludicrous. No, it's not a knitting needle.
Now, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about guilty pleasures.
I have buckets of them.
Do you?
Go on, what have you got?
Yeah, I'd say yours are dodgy as hell. Well, everyone has at least one, I think. And the idea of a guilty pleasure is something that either makes you feel a bit naughty to do. For example, eating a big piece of chocolate cake that you know might have a million calories in it. And
you're awful.
Don't rage. I know, but still, it's something that you think you probably shouldn't have.
Okay.
But you think, you know, it makes me feel good, I'm going to have it. Or secondly, something that you do that maybe you don't feel suits the image you'd like to project
so
of yourself.
So you're going home and listening to a 7-inch version of It's So Funny How We Don't Talk Anymore.
Exactly.
And enjoying it.
Or if you, like a friend of mine who is a senior executive in an investment bank in London, and we were at the group of the house for dinner about a year ago, and somebody went to the loo. I went to have a look at her spare room. She went, oh, don't go in there. And there was this moment where she went in and slammed his lid down. We went, oh my God, is it a box of porn? It wasn't. It was a box of it was Baywatch series one to whatever. It was Footballers' Wives. It was Neighbours.
Brilliant.
The old wedding DVD.
Oh, that stuff.
And this woman is 37 years old. And as I said, senior executive. She went, look, it's just what I do sometimes. Yeah. And we thought, why hide it? She went, because it doesn't go with how I want you to see him. I said, well, you know what? I kind of see you in a new light now and I like it even more. So it's that kind of thing that, be it watching the, we talked last week about, or the other week about moving. And like my husband thinks that I have a secret love for soap operas. Now, I don't like to admit, but there's sometimes, I wouldn't be addicted to them, but if I'm home alone, I will often put the telly on the background and I will watch EastEnders. Mm-hmm. And I don't like
just
admitting
EastEnders
to
or
it.
Would you veer into a little?
I would dip my toe into the murky waters of Corrie.
Yeah.
I have occasionally skirted around the fringes of Fair City.
Yeah.
I draw the line at Emmerdale, I think.
You sound like one of the Late Show haters where they say, I never watch it, but it's just on. And then I flick around and it's just there. And then I can discuss it at quite considerable length.
Well, people who every single week give out about the Late or Fair City, and you go, you've clearly watched it. So
what's the problem?
They say that bit in episode part two or that bit. And you go, well, you're watching the whole thing. If you don't watch it, turn
over. So you're turning into that.
No, I'm not. I don't want to be seen as a person who sits and watches soaps every night.
That makes you a snob, a terrible snob.
I know it does, but it's a guilty pleasure.
But there's nothing guilty about watching quality soap.
But I don't know. I guess deep down, I think maybe it is not the most intelligent television, and I would like to be someone who just sits down and watch historical documentaries like you.
Soap operas are soap operas are the Dickens of the 21st century.
Well,
they're weekly stories that unravel before our eyes, and we watch them to keep in touch with the scale that's kind of.
They're not really.
Well,
but anyway, so what's yours?
Arguably.
Or what's one of?
Oh,
yours?
I'm not going to. I wouldn't even
give
begin.
Us one.
To, I just told you.
You didn't.
Didn't I?
No.
I thought I did.
Wow, I know I don't listen to you, but did I actually miss that?
I know, that's exactly the test.
But that's the thing, the idea of guilt, I mean, the word guilt shouldn't really be used. Guilt is obviously a terrible thing and obviously a very good thing, because if we didn't have guilt in a society wouldn't really function.
Yeah.
In that guilt reminds us of the welfare of other people, and, you know, without that we would descend into chaos.
Mm.
When it comes to guilty pleasures, it's a sort of lightweight guilt. It's not actual guilt. You know, if you're doing things that really make you, for example, teenagers might go off the rails. They might do things like shoplifting, and sometimes there isn't, they don't come from a broken home. It's not that something bad has happened, just that they are trying to work out who they are and kind of play out this idea of doing the wrong thing, because they will often say there's a buzz from doing the wrong thing. And then as we get older, obviously, if we're going to live in a civilized world, we hope that people will stop doing that. And that's where these guilty pleasures come in, that there are things that still give you that little tiny buzz or rush of, I probably shouldn't be doing this, but there's a pleasure that comes with it. And there was research done, where's my rocking chair, that said that if you add guilt to something, it makes it slightly more pleasurable. That actually you can actually measure the increase in pleasure associated with just a little bit of doing something that you think might be illicit.
You see, Amy from Offaly, I was going to say this to you, and then I thought I better not, but as it's coming on text, I get this occasionally, and I say occasionally, once every... Halley's Comet, right? Somebody will say to me, you're my guilty pleasure, right?
I was going there with that. You didn't want to say it.
I didn't want to say it.
I put it out there. I got a handful.
A handful. Maybe the guy with the chop suey stick.
No, a handful, but someone who maybe has six fingers, like a big handful. Ryan, of people saying, Ryan
Tubby's my guilty pleasure. Amy in Offaly says, normally I'm into guys with muscles, but there's just something about it. But she's guilty about it, and she feels guilty about that pleasure.
You've got one big muscle, don't you?
Sweet,
your brain. You know, that's what people love about you.
You know, the point they're making is that...
Don't wave that little chopstick at me.
I'm now putting that aside. But... It's a compliment. She's kind of complimenting, but taking it away in a way, saying you know it's a guilty pleasure.
That's not necessarily. It is a compliment. It's they do that every year. One of the magazines, maybe Cosmo, one of that ilk, who have guilty crushes. And yeah. It's things like David Cameron or Ricky Gervais and people like that. And you think, well. So it's a little bit offensive. It's a backhanded compliment to say, oh, yeah, I kind of fancy him, but I probably shouldn't.
Back of the hand. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. I shouldn't, and it's hard to admit it.
But I said that in reply to one girl who said to me on Twitter that you're her guilty. I said, why guilty? I said, he's a gorgeous fella. Yeah, and she went, no, because I really lust after him and I'm married.
Yeah, I'm 30.
Come on, that's a compliment, isn't it?
I'm sure it is. I'm a 33-year-old man, considered stereotypically pretty manly. I love singing along to Taylor Swift songs in the secrecy of my car. I like that.
That's a good one. Spotify revealed recently the top 10 streamed tracks that people aren't admitting to.
God.
So these are guilty pleasures that people won't, but they said, we know for a fact these are being downloaded.
It's Total
in
Eclipse
their
of the Heart in there.
No, Wrecking Ball.
Not that I know.
Wrecking Ball, Miley Cyrus, Wannabe by the Spice Girls. Mambo Number 5.
No, I hate that song.
No, Never Gonna Give You Up.
That's annoying. No, I love that song.
Cotton Eye Joe.
Can't stand that song.
MC Hammer, Can't Touch This.
No, thank you.
You absolutely cannot touch this. Wait a minute before you go.
Yeah, I prefer Freedom.
And what was the other one?
I don't want you, Freedom.
Sharona.
No, I'm not into that. That's a rubber song.
But isn't that great?
That's not a guilty pleasure. Rai Sharona's kind of cool. It's the Knacks.
Yeah, it's maybe cool. For you, but it's on there, guilty. It's the ones that people aren't... people aren't reviewing them. They're not cross-promoting them. They're just downloading them and streaming them and saying nothing.
What about Anne Murray, You Needed Me? I cried a tear, you wiped it dry. What about...
That's a little creepy. I don't know.
That's a sweet song. And When I Need You, Leo Sayer. I've got some really bad guilty pleasures.
But do you have them all on one big mix CD?
I don't have them at all. No, I just like them when I hear them. I don't have them on a CD or anything.
And it's
I hear them, I kind of get real. I feel happy.
But that it's the same reason why at a wedding you can play the coolest music, but you stick on Dexy's Midnight Runners or ABBA, and everyone goes woo and hits the dance floor because it's everyone's guilty pleasure, and they may have had a few drinks. That's why you include that stuff. Have you ever been to a hipster wedding where they don't play any of that cheesy kitsch?
I wouldn't be invited to such events.
And it never really kicks off because there's obviously always a cross section of ages and demographics.
They're trying to be too cool, and they're playing this muck they don't even enjoy themselves.
Too much beard
harm to the making of that wedding. My secret is I fancy David Brent, but not Ricky Gervais, just David Brent. And my favourite song is Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now by Starship.
Oh, that's a good one. But that's how odd to fancy David Brent, but not Ricky
but not
Gervais.
The other. Watching reality TV, says a text, for example, America's Next Top Model. My husband and others often slag me, saying such an intelligent woman shouldn't be watching such trash. But I love leaving the brain at the door, watching Come Dine With Me and light viewing like that. I'm not guilty, but often when others hear I watch this stuff, they nearly don't believe it.
Well, see, I have that too. As I get older, I think, you know what, I shouldn't be afraid to admit to this. And there are times when I think, no, I love this particular show, and I'm going to ask my friends, have they seen it? We can talk about it over a cup of tea. But then if they say, what? You watched what? I wouldn't watch that. And sure, I should. You have too much time in your hands, don't feed you. Oh, God.
And they give watching the Brennan brothers fixing up people's hotels is my guilty pleasure, says Tommy. That's good.
That shouldn't be guilty. That's informative. And Francis Brennan once told me, ended an argument for me by letting me know that toilet paper has to... Oh, what's the word he used? You know, some people have the toilet roll going under and some of it going over. And my husband always has it going under. and I have to have it going on top. And he went, no, it has to be going over. He said, otherwise it's bad, bad form. It's not hospitable. Because you may have to search for the end of the roll.
I'd love to know what you've said means.
You know a loo roll when it's hanging on the little holder?
Yeah, and there's a
piece hanging down at the front rather than if you flip it the other way, hanging down underneath.
Yeah, but I've never given
it's
that...
It's a clockwise, anti-clockwise
I've never
thing.
I've thought about that.
You know in the hotel when they fold you into a corner?
Yeah.
I do that when I have guests coming.
Oh my God, why do they do that, by the way? Is it just to say new?
No, it's the...
It hasn't been manhandled.
It's the modern equivalent of putting the sanitised thing over the seat to show you that someone has been in there and
cleaned it.
Has serviced the bathroom.
But you've groped the
and
bit
or
of...
painted it.
Of tissue, of toilet paper with
your
hand.
Groped it. You just folded it into a slight into an origami
but
pyramid.
But you've handled it.
Yeah, but you've also
handled
putting it onto the holder anyway.
Not necessarily. You could do it with the slide to the side, like a vinyl record.
God, next week we're doing OCD.
Every time I hear them talk about the OECD conference, and there's all these people wonderful stuff in a row on the news.
I am, you know, sleeping with the enemy. I'm going to sneak into your house and do the corners on your Jack's roll.
Oh, I'll know.
You're sleeping.
I'll know.
Oh, I know you'll know.
My guilty pleasure, says the text, is tie a yellow ribbon round
the yellow
tree.
Oh, I love that one.
I'm 32 and I love it. It's in my head now. Please play it. No.
Now, what about movies? Mushy movies are a big one. And also social media. But actually, there's slightly more guilt attached to that because I got a lot of people saying, well, Twitter and Facebook are my guilty pleasure because I don't like admitting how much time I spend on them. Anything that you enjoy doing but don't like admitting to is obviously QED, a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
But I said, well, why do you feel guilty? And one guy got back and said, well, because yesterday, for example, I spent 8 hours on Twitter. And I said, are you working? And he went, yeah. So that's probably slightly more of the bad guilt associated with that, in that you are probably wasting your employer's time.
Yeah, I don't think the word pleasure was harmed in the making of that comment, to be honest with you. All right, 51552. Does anyone watch Real Housewives or Beverly Hills?
No. I can't do that kind of show. So I've never watched an episode of The Kardashians, and I keep being told that I would be addicted if I did, but I just can't bring myself to do it.
It's funny you should say that. I've never watched an episode of The Kardashians, and yet I know that there's a bunch of sisters with massive arses and beautiful faces and that they're very famous and wealthy. Now, Facebook is my guilty pleasure. I hate people who make out you're some freak, to be honest, says Lorna in Lucan. Listening to Daniel O'Donnell's guilt without pleasure suggests another. And I still love...
But he's not so nice.
I still love The Carpenter's Joe. Is that,
I don't know that song.
Is that Cop Nye?
No.
Do the Carpenters sing a song called Joe, or do they think that Cotton Eye Joe was Carpenter's Joe?
No, I think it's a song called Joe.
Okay. But your final comment before we say goodbye?
My final comment I'll have to quote one of your favourite philosophers, Euripides.
Higher, listen.
And he said that short is the joy that guilty pleasure brings. A man who obviously never had a kebab at 3 a.m. Come on, Euripides.
Maya, I like it. That's a good way to on which to learn. Because, you know, Euripides is my guilty pleasure. Thank you, Maya.
Here's a tissue.